Welcome again, our dear listener. It's Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. This is EZ1SKBCRadio.com. Today, we have another aspect about ESL newcomers and how other community institutions react with them. Our guest today represents one of the most important community institutions, which is the Coptic Orthodox Church. When he was 26, he came to America and began his education journey and got a master's degree in project management. He serves as a priest in St. Mary and St. Athanasius Coptic Orthodox Church in Northridge, Father David Elias. Welcome, Father David. How are you today?
Good, very good. Thank you, Izzet, for having me, and thank you for KPC Radio. I also would like to thank Priest College, all the staff that are working for this radio station.
You're welcome, Sam. First, I'd like to ask you about your beginning here in America. How was it?
Well, I came to America, as you mentioned. I was 26 years old. At that time, I had a bachelor degree in computer science. I was working as a software programmer. I had done some work back home in Egypt. I've done some work, and I had traveled to England. I spent, I think, 6 months working in England on some software projects related to financial institutions. And then I came to America in 1996. At that time, there was the internet boom. Yeah. So computer was very important. If you know how to spell computer, you probably get hired. And at that time, I had very decent experience. And I'm very thankful, definitely. I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful to America. It opened before me doors that I would not have thought about growing up. Now, reflecting back on these years, it's been almost 21 years. It's been a wonderful journey. It's been really good, really fruitful. Even my work prior to my priesthood, the beginning definitely was good. It was great. It's not without challenge, though.
Yeah, sure.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's not without challenge. But again, I'm thankful that I came in the right time. I came with a mindset. My time that I spent in England opened my eyes to the Western culture. We're talking about newcomers today.
Yeah.
So opened my eyes a little bit to the Western culture. I came in, actually, when I came, I had a British accent. And even, you know, going to the market, going to restaurants, people sometimes would not understand my English because I would say words like water. And yeah. So people would not understand that very well. But I've been thankful. You know, I'm very thankful. Overall, the beginning was good. I came, actually, I was engaged. Now, many people probably would not know that the Orthodox priest gets married and also would have children. So I came in, I was engaged. My wife, my fiancé back then, my wife now, had her family here. And of course, helped me to start my life here as well.
Good.
Yes.
You talk about the challenges. Can you tell me something about the challenges you met?
Yes, of course. So, so you come in 1996. It was internet boom. However, internet at that time was not available at every home, right?
Right.
To work in America in the beginning, you needed an American experience, which, you know, it was hard to get where to start. You start first or they would not hire you because you don't have the experience. So how do you start? At that time, internet speed at home was probably 14K and then probably 28K, then 56K. You would wait for the newsletter, for the actual paper, the newspaper to come in to find jobs, to apply, to send it by fax or to send it by the snail mail, the regular mail, and you put the envelope, you wait for Sunday paper, you find the jobs you want to apply to, you update your resume, you print it, you put it in an envelope. It was just a long process just to get a resume sent from your computer to go to the employer. That was one of the challenges, of course. Again, having no American experience, that also counted. Being not very aware of the culture. Still, America has its own culture. Even coming from a very, from England, still, America has its own culture. Certain colors, even in your dress code, they're popular in Europe. They're not popular here. Things like that. There's culture. You go sometimes to interviews and people would make a joke and you would not get it. So simple and small things like that are challenges. But there's also, of course, bigger challenges. To get a job, you're coming new. They think, you're coming from a third world country. Things like that.
This challenges push you up to begin your education or something?
Yes, I'll tell you how I began my education. My wife and I were married. She was doing her master's in school psychology.
Yeah.
And almost at the end of her master's degree, she was pregnant with our first son, which of course is difficult. I at that time had been working doing software for quite some time, and I wanted to move up.
Yeah.
I wanted to get, I wanted to leave the code and get maybe into management positions. So I waited until she finished her master's degree. And of course, we had our first baby. He's not a baby anymore. And then I decided that I wanted to do a master's, but not in computer science. I wanted to do it in management. Mm-hmm. With the thought that management and computer science can take you somewhere, of course, I had no clue that God had called me for priesthood, which was totally something I never expected at all. So I decided to do my master's in project management. So that's how it started. I felt I'm a little bit stuck in programming, and I wanted to move up. Although thank God, I'm very thankful. America gave me beautiful opportunities. I worked in some of the biggest companies that produce software in America. It was very beautiful, wonderful years, filled with growth. I met wonderful people. It was really good. Really good. But that's what actually pushed me to go to do my master's.
Education.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Then you got a master's degree, and I want to ask you about, do you think that there is a limit to education or ambition here in America for any newcomers?
No, not at all. Not at all. Let me tell you a little bit about my experience with my master's program before we get this. So I applied for the school that I wanted to join, and I definitely had left education for quite some time. So getting back to the books, it was not an easy task. I applied. I had to take, the GRE, or the school had asked me to take their own internal test, which tests your knowledge in English and math and common sense and statistics, and so I passed that. I think I did well. I took my first class in my master's program.
Yeah.
And apparently it was one of the core classes, and it was actually one of the harder classes that you take in the project management track. So the professor at that time, apparently he teaches quite few classes within the track that I was in, and it was very tough.
Yeah.
I took with him the first class. I did okay. I got a B.
Yeah.
I'm not one who would just take a B for a grade, but anyways, I got a B, but the amount of work, it was very unexpected. It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
So I took a semester off afterwards to evaluate if I would really want to continue this master's program that I'm applying, that I'm in. And I took this semester off. I prayed about it. I talked to people. I spoke to my wife. At that time, we had our first baby. So life and its challenges, we're talking about challenges, became even more.
Yeah.
The reason I'm saying this is that if the listeners later on would be themselves new immigrants, would see the challenges and what would one could achieve in life in America. So I took the semester off, and I prayed about it. I talked to people. I talked to my wife, and I felt, you know what? No, I will continue my master's program. But then I started to be a little bit more smarter about education. So if I'm taking class with this professor, I'll take one per semester. Because I was working too. I was full-time employee.
Yeah.
I was married. I had my son. We have our home. And if he's teaching, and this is a required class that I have to finish, I would take one class. If I'm not taking him, this professor, I'll take two classes. I still get my A's. With him, I would have to be very careful. I would only take one class. But definitely, it was hard work.
Yeah.
It was evening program. So I would finish work, go to school. At that time, there was no online classes. At that time, there was no online classes, or at least there were very, very few. And there is no way you finish a master's program online like now. So I finished my degree, and it was good. It was not easy.
Yeah.
It was not easy, but it's doable. It's doable. And now looking back, I encourage everyone to finish their education, to pursue the highest level of education they can. And yeah, so
good. Good. I want to ask you about the church. Coptic Orthodox Church. What role does the Coptic Orthodox Church play in welcoming newcomers?
Sure.
Yeah, and how does it help them to integrate into the new society?
Into new society.
Yeah.
All right. I will answer that, and I will answer a question you hinted to a little bit ago regarding limits of education. Is there a limit? Could one say, this is enough? Or, am I too old to get into school now? Or, actually, I'm applying. I'm in the process in applying and getting master's in theology. I'm in the process. I'm supposed to start in the spring to get master's in theology, which is now that I'm a priest. You probably know how busy a priest in the Coptic Orthodox Church can get, but I am applying and getting master's in theology, so I believe there's absolutely no limit to education. One should and ought to continue on education. There is, regardless this is academic education or not, but academic education is important. Being in a school environment is good. It's great, actually, but one to continue on education regardless if they are in school or not, reading books, in the field they're studying or they're working, and listening to podcasts. There's just tons now of methods of education. Online education, of course, has become an incredible opportunity for everyone. To take classes online, there is absolutely no limit for education. You can do whatever. In fact, I have to. I remember when I was doing my master's in project management, we had someone with us in class He had two masters, one of them from MIT, which is a very prestigious school. He was chief operation officer in one of the airlines. And he was still coming to get another master's degree. It has absolutely no limit. And it's good. I think one recognizes the value of education usually after the they finish. Now, to answer your question as far as what does a Coptic church do for people who are coming to America? We as Orthodox Christians, and even Christians generally, we think of each other as Scripture speaks that we are bones of the Lord's bones and flesh of His flesh. Yeah. We're so integrated with one another, and we are so integrated with Him, the Lord Christ Himself.
Yeah.
The Bible also talks about our living stones built up as a spiritual house. We are so much integrated with one another. Hmm. Now, our church now has about 1,000 families. Oh. Yes, 1,000 families. We probably think it's even more.
It's only one church.
It's one church. The one in Northridge.
Yeah.
The one in Northridge. Yes. The one in Northridge. I think part of our growth, of course, came from definitely immigration. That is, regardless, coming due to persecution or coming through the random selection, the lottery system that United States of America provides for those who live in other countries.
Yeah.
We love to serve. The Coptic people, the Egyptian, Coptic is Egyptian. So the Coptic people love to serve. The Lord Himself spoke and said, you know, I have come not to be served, but to serve.
Hmm.
So we take this seriously. We find out families coming from Egypt to America to pursue a life of opportunities.
Yeah.
Was a still American dream in their minds.
Yes.
So they come in, of course, they find challenges. So we try to help them in the beginning to overcome some of these challenges. So the Coptic Church, or at least our parish, we attempt as much as we can to help them to stand on their feet. So we pick him up from the airport. Many of the times we prepare a place of living, an apartment. We attempt to furnish it for them. Some families are unable to provide for themselves as far as financially.
Yeah.
Others are able, but then we still have to prepare for them the place and as much as we can furnish it with maybe moderate, simple furniture just to get them to start. Help them with finding jobs. We want people to work.
Yeah.
We want them to work. We want them to be a positive addition to society.
Yeah.
We try as much as we can to help them to be independent, to stand on their feet, to get a proper education if they need to. Of course, we help them to enroll their children into schools. We try to help them to pick better schools if they have, you know, children in high school, for example, or colleges. We try to help them, to guide them into. I have to say that we do this regardless of gender, color, faith affiliation even. We have a core group of volunteers. The church, by the way, does all this based on volunteers. We don't have a lot of employees. We have very, very minimum number of employees. So we do this based on volunteers, and we do this for everyone, even those who are not Coptic, even those who are not Christians. When they come to us, we help them. We try to help them and treat them exactly like everybody else. So we try to do what the Lord had commanded us to do.
Yeah, very good. It's not reasonable that you being my guest without asking you about your response to the non-believers of the existence of God.
Yes, that is a that's an interesting question. Now, people think that atheism is something new. No, atheism is not something new. It's been there for centuries. Even you find elements of the fact that some might believe that the world is self-existing or always existed. You find this as early as the 4th century. You find traces of this as early as the 4th century. Or that the universe is sustained by itself. So there are two types of people that do not believe in God.
Yeah.
One who studied very well the matter and decided that this is not for me, I still don't believe. And one who just follows
others.
And they follow what they hear. And I think this is actually the problem. I encourage youth, and I encourage everyone to look into the subject matter carefully in an objective way, because I believe that if we look into it in an objective way, they will find the truth. And I also invite them to look into the laws of nature. Where did these laws of nature came from? Where did gravity was set? What about the nuclear force? Who said the nuclear force? I also like him to look into the natural law, what we call a natural law, the conscience inside us. That conscience is available, and it's been in humankind since the beginning of mankind, as far as we remember in history, as far as we know in history, across cultures and across place. Who put this, desire of fairness, or what is right and what's wrong? How is it that if I stand in line here and somebody cuts me off, I get upset? The same thing happens, in Africa, would have the same impact. Who put in us in this? The other thing is, I think it's important also to remember and to say that the Orthodox Church, we love science.
Yeah.
Science leads us to see a designer, a creator. We're not against evolution, by the way. We're not against evolution.
Yeah.
Many people think that all Christians are against evolution. That's not true. That is not true. I also would like to tell them, too, that we love them.
Yeah.
We love them wholeheartedly. And you can also look into the Intelligent Design website. You can look into intelligentdesign.org and see what the work of some of the very famous scientists are doing.
Yeah. And I believe our God also loved them.
Oh, absolutely. The love that we have for them is from our Creator. Absolutely.
Finally, I would like to thank you very much, Father David, for the words of grace that we enjoyed too much. I hope that you honor me another meeting. Thank you, Father David.
Thank you very much, Izzet. And again, I would like to thank EPC, Pierce College, and everyone who worked on producing this program. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Our dear listeners, with a promise to meet you next Wednesday, thank you all. This is Izzet Wanas, KBCRadio.com.